The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
But the American people should know this. In a changing world, my commitment to protecting religious liberty is and always will be unwavering.
It shouldn't take a church and church groups and colleges in America to have to sue their federal government to protect their religious liberties.
The feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality.
Shall the Father have compassion upon Nineveh? Jesus' death says yes, yes, 1,000 times and forever yes.
I think that if Houston Central is going to be a Navy vessel, it would be a nuclear-powered theological aircraft carrier.
What do you do when the coverage of these stories that have been so much in the headlines, the Mormon Street rises up and you suddenly have the Muslim Street rises up, you suddenly have Muslims climbing the fences of embassies in Muslim countries, and we stand by and we watch flags being raised? What do you do when the coverage of that here in the U.S. focuses not on the causes for these things so much, but on the impact on the presidential election? I kind of call that missing the point. I'd like to know more about the real story rather than just the story, the template that the media wants to cover right now. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with George Conger, getting his thoughts on media coverage of the Cairo and Benghazi attacks and the publication of a Mohammed cartoon in a French magazine that caused the French government some alarm. A little bit later, Pastor Farouk Khan joins us. He's a native of Pakistan. We'll talk about the burning of a Lutheran church in Pakistan by Muslim protesters, and then we'll round off today's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. with Dr. Andrew Steinman, continuing our conversation on the Apocrypha, talking about that book called The Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach, also called Ecclesiasticus. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. George Conger is a regular guest. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
Have you noticed a disparity or a difference, at least, between the U.S. coverage of the diplomatic outposts and embassy attacks by the Muslim Street and the international coverage of the same story?
The foreign coverage between the U.S. newspapers and the European newspapers has all been pretty good, meaning that the New York Times and the Washington Post, their men and women in the field have done a great job in covering these stories. Where it falls apart is the domestic coverage, when reporters in the United States, basically their first response is, how does this affect the presidential campaign? And that point, it just got really silly, really quickly.
What do you mean by that? Go into some, or give us some examples, if you could.
Well, the initial story breaking was the Cairo attack, and we had some tweets, which are instant messages, sent out by one of the public affairs officers at the U.S. Embassy in Cairo, where he basically is apologizing for this YouTube video called The Innocence of Muslims, made by somebody we think in California, that was deemed offensive to Muslims. He was very apologetic and apologized to American belief in free speech, that the government can't just shut somebody down because they say something unkind or unpopular. Well, the initial response in the overseas world was, well, this is not really got to do with a Muslim video. This is more a provocation. It's 9/11. This has been planned. And fairly quickly, within the first day, there were reports coming out of the Middle East from the American reporters there that this mob, many of the people, were paid to be there. This was a rent-a mob. It was a provocation. Now, compare that to the American domestic reporting, where Romney put out a statement, Mitt Romney saying, you know, it's embarrassing to have the U.S. apologize for its freedom of speech. And the press corps just jumped all over him, got these people, these sort of talking head types, people who will give you an opinion about everything and anything, saying, oh, woe is me, isn't it terrible that Mitt Romney has made another foreign policy blunder? Well, in reality, Mitt Romney was absolutely right. The facts within two or three days turned out to validate all that Mitt Romney had said in the first day, yet the domestic press response had been, let's back Obama to the hilt. Nothing wrong, nothing to see here, folks, at the U.S. State Department. Mitt Romney has stepped in it again.
So why do you think it is that, is it just the fact that we got, you know, the presidential election going on now that seems to become the template for every story, regardless of how compelling the other angles on the story may be?
Well, part of it is that, yes, everything in the United States press, the old joke is, some of your listeners may remember a New Yorker cover cartoon of a few years ago that showed the world from a New Yorker's perspective. And 90% of the world consisted of Manhattan, and far off was Los Angeles, and in between was the flyover space of the United States, where nothing really happened. The press in the United States, based in Washington or New York or Los Angeles, at times seems to encapsulate that worldview. Nothing that overseas happens is of importance. Nothing that happens in Kansas is important. What happens in New York or Washington or Los Angeles, that's what's special. That's what's newsworthy. And the spin is put on how it is interpreted within certain offices and certain corridors of power in these big cities.
You say that you do want to single out for a special honorable mention when it comes to the Benghazi and Cairo attacks, CNN's story, Ambassador's Killing Shines Light on Muslim Sensitivities Around Prophet Muhammad. What did you like about that?
Well, if you read some of the domestic stories, you're wondering, well, why are Muslims upset about the fact that Muhammad is being portrayed in a dumb movie? You know, Christians for years have been subjected to dumb movies about Jesus. Right now in a New York gallery in Manhattan, you can see an exhibition of Andre Serrano photograph called Piss Christ, which was a big sensation a few years ago, of a picture of a crucifix submerged in urine. You know, pretty gross thing, but for Americans, you know, we live with the fact that people will say and do gross things. Nobody bothered to explain that for Sunni Muslims, an image of Muhammad is almost sacrilegious. It's something you just don't do in their religion. And the CNN story stepped outside of the mob, so to speak, and explained why certain Muslims, Sunnis, who are predominant in Egypt, would find this offensive, and what really are the theological and religious roots of their being upset.
Let's talk a little bit about a related story, and that has to do with the angle here being the depiction of Muhammad in a cartoon in a French magazine. What's the story here?
Well, there's a French weekly magazine called Charlie Hebdo. And Charlie Hebdo is sort of a cross between Mad Magazine and the British publication Private Eye. Slightly smutty, slightly dirty, sort of raunchy cartoons that satire current affairs and current issues. Well, November of last year, they published some cartoons about Muhammad, and again, this was something you don't do for certain Muslim fundamentalists, and their offices were firebombed in Paris. Well, we have the Cairo and Benghazi attacks, and Charlie Hebdo thought, well, here's time to step back into the limelight again. And on Wednesday of this past week, they published some obscene cartoons of Muhammad. They said, you know, Muhammad's now a YouTube star. What if he was a porn video star? And they had some dirty pictures of Muhammad. And the French government was so worried about what the Muslim world would do that they closed all their embassies in the Middle East. And fortunately for France, they did not have any domestic riots or outbursts from their Muslim minority. But in Pakistan, for instance, on Friday night, a group of 8,000 people marched on a Lutheran church in the town of Mardan and burned it to the ground because of the French cartoons and the YouTube video. No French or American in Mardan, Pakistan, so let's kill Christians instead.
So what's the real story here? And it's the story that's going to have to be written again and again and again as often as these things happen. But how would you write the lead for these stories? To get the story straight and to really get to the angle that actually comports with the truth and explains the most?
There's a political manipulation by some people of religious sensibilities in the Muslim world. In other words, why do some Muslim cartoons upset people and why do some images upset them and others don't? If you go to Washington, D.C. and look on the pediment, which is the carvings along the top of the Supreme Court building, you will see a carved statue of Muhammad. Now, I haven't seen anybody trying to burn down the Supreme Court building in Washington because there's a portrayal of Muhammad. What we're seeing is we're seeing Al-Qaeda and Islamists and people who wish to exacerbate religious tensions for their political gain, and they whip up a mob. And in Cairo, the Egyptian government says that about half the mob was paid to be there, and use religious issues for political advantage. That's really what's going on at the end degree. The Jerusalem Post and some of the Israeli newspapers have really done some great work in this area, looking at what the Islamist websites have been saying in the weeks before these riots, and rather than a spontaneous eruption of anger, these newspapers have pointed out, well, here is where, we see public organization and gathering for our spontaneous outrage, which we're planning 3 weeks ahead of time to coincide with September 11th.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Farooq Khan joins us. He's a native of Pakistan. We're going to talk about that burning of a Lutheran church in Pakistan by Muslim protesters.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.